sports meets life with an unbiased perspective. This is your wake-up call with Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to the Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora special edition, Wake Up Call, the 2-Minute Warning, where all 32 teams will be put on the clock as I talk to you about everyone in the AFC and NFC, starting with the East, West, North, and then finally finishing up with the South on both sides as I spend 2 minutes tops on every single NFL team, starting right now with the AFC East. Starting things off, the Buffalo Bills. E.J. Manuel out with an injury. Jeff Toole comes in the game against the Cleveland Browns and does nothing. Then the man that was on the practice squad, Thaddeus Lewis, comes into the game, starts for the Buffalo Bills against the Cincinnati Bengals. 19 of 32, 216 yards, just under 60% completion percentage in his first ever NFL start. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, brings the team to overtime. Thaddeus Lewis doing a great job getting plenty of guys involved, including guys in the offense that weren't involved that much when E.J. Manuel was out there finding weapons. So a lot of credit to Thaddeus Lewis, who came in like he was a starter, like he was someone who had played before, and even outshowing some people that have been backups before, outshowing David Garrard of most recent times and a Byron Leftwich. So a lot of credit, and even a Matt Cassel and what Matt has done in games recently. So a lot of credit to Thaddeus Lewis, who came out here. Another big thing to know, the Buffalo Bills, third in the nation out of 32 teams in running the ball, almost 150 yards a game. So dealing with injuries, dealing with some issues in that respect. But Thaddeus Lewis, the biggest mistake the Bills made was not with Thaddeus Lewis. It was the play calling by the coaching staff with 12 seconds left to not try once or twice to score, but to take that knee and go in overtime, which I said can take the game away from you, and it did. Cincinnati winning in overtime. The Bills have Miami. They have this AFC East rivalry continuing. We'll talk about the Miami Dolphins in just a moment here. But finishing up with Buffalo, Doug Marrone knows all about injuries. He knows how to respond to it. It may take a little bit of time, but great decision-making with Thaddeus Lewis. He is the biggest positive the Bills have moving forward right now as they try to get things right, even without their starter. Up next are those Miami Dolphins facing the Buffalo Bills this week. The Miami Dolphins will have this game at home. This is a team that I think showed a little bit more at the beginning of the season, started off 3-0. They defeated Cleveland, who's better than people think. Indianapolis at Indianapolis. They defeated Atlanta when the team was more healthy, but they lost to New Orleans. This is kind of something that you expect, though. New Orleans is a team that has been better than Miami for a while. And the Baltimore Ravens besting the Miami Dolphins at home. Then Miami had a week off in that loss to the Baltimore Ravens, 26-23. So that field goal that won it at the end. So I give a lot of credit to the work of the Miami Dolphins, because I look at this team, they're 3-2. They may not have a ton of respect, but I said the Patriots aren't what they used to be, which means that this Dolphins team, in my mind, is the next team in line to potentially win the AFC East this season. I didn't expect Buffalo to be as good as they have been. I think that the Jets are kind of fooling people with their record so far. But this Miami Dolphins team, they don't have the top in anything, not top passing or rushing, not doing well against the pass, not doing well against the run, really, either. Lamar Miller and Daniel Thomas haven't impressed, but I do like what Ryan Tannehill is doing. He's almost at 1,400 yards. He has 6 touchdowns. Brian Hartline is his best target. Mike Wallace is a bust. That's something that I saw coming from before. So injury-wise, not a lot to say. Pouncey at the center position should be fine and ready to go. So as far as Miami's concerned, not really nagged by injuries, but this is a big win for them. This is a signature win that they need to get if they want to try and win this division and be in there in the fight for the wild card, even with the Buffalo Bills being a team with Thaddeus Lewis that could just get the job done. So this is going to be a great game, a better matchup than people might have thought going into the season, including myself, with the Miami Dolphins playing better. The next team to talk about in Wake Up Call, the 2-Minute Warning in the AFC East, are the New England Patriots, a team that really has not been the team that you remember, not the team of old, not the team of the 21st century. You look at their record and you say, Dan, they're 5-1. How can you say they're not that team? Because they aren't. They really aren't outside of the game. I mean, they beat Buffalo. They beat the Jets. They beat Tampa Bay. They beat Atlanta. They lose to Cincinnati. Terrible game, 13-6. But they come back and they defeat New Orleans. Now, this game, this was a Tom Brady game. Coming back toward the end of the game, game-winning drive. This is something you haven't seen in a while. The issue is the fact that I've said before that Tom Brady makes his receiving core good. Him and Peyton Manning are among very few quarterbacks that could take anybody, could take any of you listening right now, put you out on the field, and if you never played wide receiver before, could make you a pretty good wide receiver, find you the ball in space, and get you to look pretty darn good. That hasn't been happening. Julian Edelman has been asked to be the main guy. These other guys really haven't got on pace with Tom Brady, haven't really understood what he was trying to do. Then Kembrell Tompkins, he's been getting better. Edelman has obviously been holding his own at times, but Danny Amendola, the often injured guy, not having tight ends. Rob Gronkowski now has been cleared to come back. So here's an interesting thing. If the Patriots are turning the corner, we're going to see this when they go up against the Jets in this AFC East matchup. If they're starting to turn the corner, they get their tight end back in Rob Gronkowski, see how easily or how difficult it is for him to get back into things, but there hasn't really been a great receiving core up to this point. So seeing if the receiving core is turning the corner, if Gronk comes in at this time, could be perfect timing. I don't look at the run and don't look at the defense for the Patriots. I'm looking more at Tom Brady and what he can do with the receiving core right now, and it's going to be a very interesting game to see if that New Orleans Saints game was a concentrated case or if it's really something that will be there for the Patriots in getting out there and showing what Tom Brady can do and moving the ball through the air once again. The final team of the AFC East to speak on are the New York Jets, who will be hosting the New England Patriots. The New York Jets right now not having too bad of a season. They're 3-3. They defeated Tampa Bay, a subpar team. Buffalo, who's a pretty good team, better than people expected. Atlanta, who's had their injuries back and forth, but they lose last week to a terrible Pittsburgh Steelers offense, 19-6. They lose to the Tennessee Titans, who are a subpar team, and they lost to the Patriots earlier, but held the team to 13 points for New England, which, even though they lost that game, was a win in a sense. And I understand some people say moral victories, they don't count, but when you hold Tom Brady and the Patriots to that number, that's saying something. What the Jets need to look at and make sure that, you know, things get better on this side: cornerback Kyle Wilson coming off a concussion, wide receiver Jeremy Curley, running back Bilal Powell, other guys nursing injuries. There's really nothing behind Bilal when it comes to that rushing attack for the Jets that has really not been there in the past few seasons. So you have to have a healthy Kyle Wilson because he's played different positions in the secondary. I still don't think that Antonio Cromartie is the shutdown guy that everybody, not everybody, but that some people say that he is. I think that there needs to be more talent out there. He needs help. He's not a guy that's going to take care of it all on his own, and I don't think that he's at the level that some people may put him at. I know that he has a diva mentality, but I think Kyle Wilson definitely has to be healthy. Wide receiver Santonio Holmes, it's time to say goodbye to this guy. Too many injuries. He's another guy that's a diva, has no reason to be a diva, but this is a team that Geno Smith, he's found ways, he's got the job done, he's really pushed them to be successful. This is going to be a big statement game for them because they won't face New England again for the rest of the season. So this is going to be a big game in showing what type of team they are, and I'm very interested to seeing what Jets team shows up and how Geno is at this part in the season. That does it for the AFC East. Now on to the AFC West, and the first team to talk about, the Denver Broncos, a team that is first in the country, first of all 32 teams against the run, only allowing 69.8 yards per game. The New York Jets have to note this too. Even though they don't have much of a rushing attack, they only allow 75.7 yards per game, and they're not going to be fought on that too much by the New England Patriots that really don't have a rushing attack. So this is going to be a through-the-air game with the Jets and the Patriots. But over to the Broncos, this is a team with Peyton Manning who has shown that they do have weaknesses, and of all teams to show their weaknesses, it was the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team who's yet to win a game, played with the Broncos, closed for a while. Peyton Manning throws his second interception of the season. Three fumbles, two recoveries by the Jaguars. One of the worst teams record-wise, showing that this Broncos team is not impenetrable. You have to have Champ Bailey out there, still with the foot injury, played last week, still has on, as far as the injury report goes, that's still on the injury report. So you have to have a healthy Champ Bailey as you continue to move forward. They're playing Indianapolis. Andrew Luck is going to go after them. He's definitely going to attack the secondary, but the benefit that he has is he's going to run the ball as well. As Trent Richardson gets more and more comfortable, he's going to be in front of his new hometown crowd. And what Donald Brown can be, I don't really trust in Donald Brown, and you know that, but this Denver Broncos team is a team that's really going to have to condense the run, stop the run. They do it better than anybody else. They're going to have to do it against Peyton's old team. It's going to be interesting to see how people respond, because Peyton was forced out of there, treated like the man of the past for this man of the present, Andrew Luck. So it's going to be a great game where Peyton Manning is going to have to bounce back a little bit, because even though he led his team to a victory, made a lot more mistakes in that Jaguars game than he had made all season. So how this Denver team is going to play on the road against Peyton's former team is going to be very interesting and very exciting to watch. Next up for the AFC West, the Kansas City Chiefs, a team that has not allowed any of their opponents through their first six games to score 20 points. Everybody held below 20 points. 2 points for Jacksonville, 16 for Dallas, 16 for the Eagles, 7 for the Giants, 17 for Tennessee, and 7 for the Raiders in a victory most recently. And now the team is playing at home against the Houston Texans, and they're doing it against a quarterback that's never played, as far as starting, never started a game in the NFL in his entire life, in Case Keenum. So it's going to be an interesting game, because this Kansas City Chiefs defense is definitely there. Alex Smith, a better quarterback than they've had in a very long time. So I see this as a definite victory for the Kansas City Chiefs, with a Houston Texans team that can't get it right with their starters, and now they're going to their backup. So this is a game that I really think Kansas City is going to keep pushing forward. They're beating teams that are pretty good in the Dallas Cowboys, and also with the Oakland Raiders that are starting to get better. Tennessee, kind of that, maybe a little bit below average. Giants definitely below average. Philadelphia, somewhere around that average. Jacksonville, below average. So Kansas City hasn't seen the best of the best yet, and they've yet to play anyone in their division outside of the Raiders, so very interesting there. But they did win that game handily, and they stopped a guy like Terrell Pryor, who's been a big dual threat. So I think this Kansas City defense definitely speaking volumes for them, and a healthy Jamaal Charles is helping them as well. The man not only led them in rushing against the Oakland Raiders, but also led them in receiving in that game. So a lot to say about Jamaal Charles and the weapon that he is. Kansas City, just a team that's rolling. They're 6-0. I feel like they're going forward to be 7-0. And it's just really interesting how the Denver Broncos are just that good, but you have Kansas City chomping right there with them, right at their heels, and those two games are going to be great coming up this season. Just mentioned, and next up, the Oakland Raiders, a team who is taking a break. They have a week off right now. They will not be playing in week 7, so it gives them an opportunity to kind of figure out what things went right and what's going wrong. The big thing that the Oakland Raiders need to realize is they have to be winning the games in division. They're not going to be in an easy division for a while. If Kansas City, if this is any sign of the times that Kansas City's finally starting to turn the corner with this defense, with Alex Smith, and with a healthy Jamaal Charles, and with Alex Smith helping guys like Donnie Avery and Dwayne Bowe to get more comfortable and to look better, it's going to say a lot about where this division is heading, with Denver having Peyton Manning and the success that they're moving forward from here. They haven't beaten Kansas City. They didn't beat Denver. They did defeat San Diego, but San Diego's at the bottom of the barrel fighting for last place, pretty much, with the Oakland Raiders. I give them credit on the ground. They're 9th in the country in rushing yards. That's because you have a dual-threat quarterback in Terrell Pryor, and you have Darren McFadden. But in passing yards, 30th in the country. So Terrell definitely has to step it up there. I figure him to be the guy that's more running, but you have to give him credit that he has gotten over 1,000 yards. He has 5 touchdowns through the air. So Terrell is a dual threat. He's just coming into what he is, and I think he needs to learn that as he grows. I think he knows some of his strong suits right now. I think he's playing on his athletic ability more than on specific plays. I don't think the Raiders are a playbook offense. I think they're more of a Terrell Pryor, comfortable and show us what you bring forward, and his weapons are definitely helping him out in establishing an ability to move the ball down the field on this Oakland Raiders offense. But their defense has to get better, and Darren McFadden has to step it up. He has to do more. He has to stay healthy. It's very important that he progresses his game. And people, you know, Darren McFadden has good moments, but you can no longer be that pretty good guy on a bad team. You have to help the team win, and Terrell Pryor is doing that right now. Finishing up the AFC West with the San Diego Chargers, a team that truly just continues to underachieve. You can't put it on Norv Turner because he's not the head coach anymore. But Ryan Matthews, when this guy is leading your rushing attack, I just don't see a lot from him. 3.8 yards per carry, not enough for me. The guy doesn't get it done. He doesn't have a touchdown on the ground right now. He's not someone that protects the football. Danny Woodhead doesn't have a touchdown on the ground, but this is a guy who I think is good because and should be utilized more because he has that Darren Sproles way about him. He can help you with running the ball, but he can also catch the ball and get out in space. He has 3 touchdowns right now, and I understand that Eddie Royal has 5 touchdowns on the season, but Danny Woodhead is actually effective from game to game. Eddie Royal is nothing. He has done nothing in a very long time for the San Diego Chargers. He's not helping out Phillip Rivers. All 5 touchdowns came in the first 2 games. Since then, 0 touchdowns, did not catch a pass in the victory over Indianapolis. They didn't need him to win, and that has been shown. He needs to do more. This is a guy that's been forgotten here, and it's really going through Antonio Gates, which you figure it would, and Keenan Allen, who's been stepping up a little bit here and averaging over 14 yards per catch. So Phillip Rivers, he has the team. When you look at statistics, he has the team doing well as far as the passing game, but you got to get it going. They're playing Jacksonville this week, so you know that they will. You know a lot of guys are going to get in the end zone. Keenan Allen's going to get in there, in my belief. Antonio Gates will have an opportunity. Danny Woodhead probably get in there as well. So really, the San Diego Chargers, you could take a victory like this against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but still not a lot of quality victories, not doing a lot that's really showing me that they're a team that's going to compete. Like I said, you have Denver, you have Kansas City, Oakland's getting better. San Diego has to do more, and I don't see them doing it right now, despite the fact that they have some good weapons on their defense. On to the AFC North, and the first team to talk about, the Baltimore Ravens. A team who has had their quarterback under scrutiny before, even under scrutiny coming off a Super Bowl championship season. In this game, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, so not Eli Manning the game. 342 yards on the game, but he was sacked 5 times. That says something about your offensive line, and that is going to affect the game. The offense, even though there were 2 touchdowns from Joe Flacco, they came in the fourth quarter, after the team had failed to score in the first 2 quarters of the game and only had 1 field goal through the first 3 quarters of the game. So that's definitely going to affect you, not able to get into the end zone. So it's not all Joe Flacco in this game. He did push the team to come back toward the end, but you have penalties that were affecting the team. You have the offensive line allowing that pressure to come through and get to Joe Flacco. Ray Rice not doing much on the ground, 2.4 yards a carry against the Green Bay Packers. 34 yards on 14 attempts. They attempted 22 rushes to 34 passes. Still think that's a little bit lopsided in the wrong direction for the Baltimore Ravens. Close game against the Green Bay Packers. They take this loss. Like I said, I don't put it all on Joe Flacco. I think he's had worse days. You've seen that already this season. But the Baltimore Ravens are going to have to get better. They're going to have to turn this thing around and really show if they're going to be a team that's going to vie for something. They're playing at Pittsburgh. Can't lose this game. The Jets dropped 1 to Pittsburgh, as I talked about before. Pittsburgh just not a good offensive team and all around not the greatest team out there. Baltimore can't afford to lose a game like this. They're playing it on the road. It's very important. They have to get started earlier. And this defense, granted they only allowed 2 field goals in the first half against the Green Bay Packers, which is a lot to say against Aaron Rodgers, they have to continue to stay strong if the Ravens cannot get on the board as much as their fans would like them to. Up next in the AFC North are the Cincinnati Bengals, a team that has shown that there's definitely offensive talent with Andy Dalton. 8 touchdowns so far, over 1,500 yards for Andy Dalton. A.J. Green, obviously, his top target, 464 yards, has half of the touchdowns that Andy Dalton has thrown. On the defensive side, though, a guy that definitely needs to be named, linebacker Vontaze Burfict, who's been pretty close to perfect when it comes to what you're looking for the Cincinnati Bengals. You see what I did there? 61 tackles, almost a third of his career tackles have come in the first few games here for the Cincinnati Bengals this season. 61, he has a sack, and he also has an interception. So big plays by Burfict so far. What I'd like to see with the Cincinnati Bengals to get better is in order to help Andy Dalton and really open up the pass a little bit more for guys like A.J. Green is to get Giovanni Bernard, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. They need to do more. They both have a few touchdowns on the ground. Green Ellis has 3. Bernard has 2, so they're getting in the end zone. But as far as running the ball, getting better with their averages, Giovanni Bernard, not too bad, 4 yards a carry. Then Jarvis Green Ellis, 3.3 yards a carry. But they both fumbled the ball, and they both lost that fumble. So they got to protect the ball better and open up the run a little bit more. I'd like to see more out of Mohamed Sanu as well. No touchdowns so far this season. So this is a guy that I thought would be able to bring a little bit more to the team, and I'm still kind of waiting to see what he's going to do there. But Giovanni Bernard has a couple touchdowns through the air. He's been a big help to the team. The running game gets a little bit better. Burfict continues to do what he's doing, and if the defense follows suit, they'll be able to compete. I think this is a middle-of-the-road team that's trying to get a little bit better, but they're still that 500 type of team, not winning the games they should, losing some games, question mark. They have Detroit Lions this week, and you can't make mistakes against a team like that with Megatron. On to the Cleveland Browns of the AFC North, a team that I believe is playing better than they have since they came back in 1999. I know there was a time with Kelly Holcomb where they almost made the playoffs, but besides that moment, I've jokingly said that when the Cleveland Browns returned in 1999, I was still waiting for them to actually show up. And I think that this season they're doing that. Brian Hoyer, sad story going out for the season, but definitely did a lot, made some good strides to help out the Cleveland Browns when he was playing. Brandon Weeden not doing too bad, over 1,000 yards so far. He has 4 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. You got to see that change because there's not a big running game for this team. They don't have Trent Richardson anymore. He's still their second-leading rusher on the team, and he hasn't been there in weeks, so that tells you something. Willis McGahee nursing an injury, and so far he's had 2.8 yards per carry and a touchdown for this rushing Cleveland Browns unit, which you need a lot more from that because Brandon Weeden needs to have that balance. He's not doing enough right now. Through the air, Jordan Cameron, the best guy, tight end right there. You see the teams that go through the tight end. Tony Romo used to do it all the time with Jason Witten. 5 touchdowns so far for Jordan Cameron, so that is big. Defensively, they're going up against the Green Bay Packers. They're going to be on the road, so defensive backs to Sean Gibson, T.J. Ward, Buster Skrine, who all have at least one interception this season, have to be big here because there are some injuries to the linebacker core of the Cleveland Browns. So you have to look to the secondary to really try and condense them, to take a page out of the book of the defense of the Baltimore Ravens and see what they did to condense the score and keep the Green Bay Packers under 20 last week and try and do something like that. I think this is a better defense in the Cleveland Browns than they've shown recently, so the defense needs to push, needs to get a little bit better. They'll have some help in the fact that the run is not that great for the Packers, and they'll need to establish the run themselves somehow, some way, as difficult as it is right now on this team, but to look to a guy like maybe Travis Benjamin, who's able to do a few different things right now. Finishing the AFC North are the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that has been a huge underachiever so far this season, yet they find a way to defeat the New York Jets, and that's why I've said it before. The New York Jets are a team that I think the record right now fools you. That 3-3 record, I believe, fools you. And going up against the Patriots are going to show really who they are right now. They've already lost one game to them. But getting back to the Steelers, 1-4 so far this season. Against the pass, this is where you're seeing them be strong. Passing the ball through Ben Roethlisberger and against the pass, they're playing well in the top 10 in both passing the ball and defending against the pass. So I give them credit there. But against their, as far as running the ball, 31st out of 32 teams, just a little over 60 yards a game. Le'Veon Bell, he was out for the beginning part of the season. It'll be interesting to see what he can do, but Felix Jones is going to give you anything. Isaac Redman wasn't going to give them anything. So this team really does. They need to step up. Ben Roethlisberger is going to have to do a little bit more. They got to trust through the air, which is something that they're not used to. This is a team that pounds you on defense, pounds you with the run. They're not doing that right now. They're not doing well against the run either. So not the MO of the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I think is why you're seeing them with this record of 1-4, because they aren't that punch-you-in-the-mouth type of defense right now. They're able to defend against the pass, but they need to get back to that ground-gaining, stuffing you on the other side, and really get back to the gritty defense, that feared defense that they've had before, because right now I don't think anybody fears this team, and I don't know why they would. Pittsburgh Steelers have to get better, have to do more, and they'll have the opportunity to go up against the Baltimore Ravens at home. And this is a big game for them on their resume because they're going to be at home, so there is a little bit of an advantage there. The Baltimore Ravens, like I said before, they got to pull off this victory. It would be an embarrassing one, just like the Jets now have, losing to the Steelers. Finished with the AFC North, and now rounding out the entire AFC with the final division to talk about in the AFC, and that being the AFC South. With the Houston Texans, a team that's decided with an injured Matt Schaub that, and who knows what would have happened if he was completely healthy the way that the team's been playing at 2-4, but Matt Schaub on the bench and Case Keenum now out there for this team, for this Houston Texans squad, a guy that has never started a game in his life in the NFL, and he'll be starting it on the road against Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium with a team that's 6-0. They used to fill the stadium when the team was winning two games a season. Ridiculous. Matt Schaub not out there. He's not getting it done. The funny thing about it, like I said before, is that Matt Schaub is that guy that when he's not there, the Texans struggle. But now they're struggling with him on the field. And I think another thing that you can't just put on Matt Schaub is the fact that, like I have discussed, this is a team, like I said in an earlier wake-up call episode, that Matt Schaub is not the only problem on the team because of the fact that he has almost every single player on the offense with him with an injury. Whether they're probable or not to play this week, almost every single player on the team with an injury and some backups with an injury, along with the fact that Arian Foster and Ben Tate, this is not working. Arian Foster dominant, then going to Penn Tate was working. You don't try and fix something that's working fine. They only have one touchdown apiece through these first few weeks. They're not doing enough. Ben Tate, 5 yards a carry, not bad. Arian Foster, 4.5 yards a carry, but it's not translating into points. It's not helping the team out. Andre Johnson not being who he used to be. This Houston Texans team has to get better. I don't think they're going to do it in the first start ever for Case Keenum, but it could be a shocker. Things could change, but I don't see this Kansas City defense losing at home to a first-time in the NFL quarterback in Case Keenum. So I'm not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel so far for the Houston Texans. They have to get better, and their defense isn't there either. That has to improve as well. Next up for the AFC South are the Indianapolis Colts, who I had said before will be playing host to Peyton Manning for the first time since parting ways with him. This team that Peyton Manning will be going up against looks pretty good on the defensive side as far as playing up against the pass. 5th in the country out of 32 teams as far as passing yards allowed per game with 205, but they haven't faced Peyton Manning. So that's a statistic that Peyton Manning's one of those guys where you could say, okay, well, that's your stat, but you haven't faced this guy yet. Against the run, they're terrible, which is bad news for the Indianapolis Colts because Sean Moreno's been playing pretty well, getting himself into the end zone and helping out the team. Receiving-wise, offensively for the Indianapolis Colts, I got to see more from this team. Right now, Reggie Wayne, 2 touchdowns. T.Y. Hilton, 2 touchdowns. He got those both in one game. Kobe Fleener, the tight end, has 2 touchdowns. Dwayne Allen has 1, and he's only caught 1 pass in being targeted twice. So not much there from him. This is not a receiving core that's really strong right now. They're stronger than other teams like the New England Patriots, but they have to get better. Trent Richardson still trying to find his place. just a little bit over 3 yards a carry right now. He does have a couple touchdowns, but they're going up against the best team against the run. So this Indianapolis Colts team is definitely going to have the fans on their side. I think it'll be split kind of in between, though, when it comes to Peyton Manning, because he didn't leave on his bad terms. He was kicked out by the Indianapolis Colts. But it'll be good to see this. It'll be good to see Andrew Luck go up against Peyton Manning, because Luck definitely has gotten the Colts to a place that I expected was going to take a lot longer after the loss of Peyton Manning. So I do respect him for that. I think this is a better pass defense that Peyton Manning had when he was the quarterback of the Colts. So it'll be a good matchup. It'll be an interesting matchup. The Colts still need to do a little bit more, though, in their rushing game and in their receiving game to help this team move forward. On to the Jacksonville Jaguars. A few things to be happy about if you're a Jaguars fan. Number one, the team is playing at home. Number two, Blaine Gabbert's not their quarterback. And number three, you're playing host to the San Diego Chargers, a team that has a lot of difficulty. Now, do they have weapons? Yes. Do they know how to pass the ball? Absolutely. Are they going to take advantage of a young secondary and a secondary that, even if there is some veteran status on there, isn't used to playing together? A new secondary when you come to youth and a new secondary when it comes to playing together. Are they going to take advantage of that like other teams have? You betcha. So, not going to be the easiest day for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but when you go up against the Denver Broncos and you can get Peyton Manning's led offense to fumble three times and to get after it and recover that fumble twice, and you can grab an interception that Paul Posluszny did, who truly is one of the best linebackers in the country. And I jokingly said that he's right up there at the top when it comes to total tackles, because the Jaguars defense is on the field all the time. But he still has to make those tackles. He still has to get after it. The interception that he got was great to see a linebacker, when he has that type of build, to jump up in the air, catch that ball, and then know where he needed to run, utilize his blockers, and return it for a touchdown. Says a lot about this team. They're definitely making a turnaround. Yes, they lost to the Denver Broncos. Yes, the Broncos got out on them later on in the game. But what the Jacksonville Jaguars showed is that they can go up against one of the best teams, and it could be potentially the best team in the NFL right now, and do work against them. So when San Diego comes into town, now you're home. They're not the Denver Broncos. This should be a statement game for the Jaguars. This is a game that they can win. And Chad Henne is a lot more comfortable when he knows he's going to be the starter. Justin Blackman's got to keep doing what he's doing. Cecil Shorts has to do a little bit more. And Maurice Jones-Drew has to do better on the ground. He's been behind bad lines before and rushed for over 1,600 yards to lead the entire league. Right now, 3 yards a carry, only two touchdowns. Has to get better for the Jags. Lastly, for the AFC South and the AFC as a whole, here on Wake Up Call, the two-minute warning, are the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans going up against the San Francisco 49ers this week, and they're playing the game at home. They found out that Jake Locker will be out there, will be starting for the team. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Kansas City Chiefs, he had some positive moments. He showed some good things when he was out there, but two touchdowns to four interceptions. Jake Locker, how about this? Six touchdowns, no picks so far. A guy that is out there not only doing that passing, but he's also outgained Chris Johnson on the ground before. And he did it last season as well. Jake Locker, one of the best things that happened to the Tennessee Titans in a while. And like I said, I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick's that bad. Also on the defense, you look at a guy who's grabbed four interceptions so far this season, Alteron Verner. That says a lot about him and what he's able to do, trying to get that defense better for the Tennessee Titans. So I give him some credit there. This is a team that has beaten the New York Jets, that right now are at the middle of the road. San Diego Chargers, a below average team that does have some talent, though. And they defeated the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not a big win there. But the Houston Texans, they forced overtime in that game. They lost to two good teams at Kansas City and Seattle. You have to win this game. You have to defeat San Francisco. Not as good as Seattle. Not as good as Kansas City. But you have to win this game, especially with being at home. They're not that well against the run. And against the pass, a little bit better. So the defense has to come on here. Guys like Verner are going to have to lead. Chris Johnson's doing nothing lately. This is a guy that got over 1,000 yards. I've said it before. Last season, I was completely surprised. I have no idea how the heck he did it. He's been awful this season. He was awful for most of last season. 3 yards a carry, has yet to get in the end zone. Not the 2,000-yard rusher that you would expect him to be. He got paid, and not a lot's coming out of him. And that, NFL fans, is the AFC. 16 teams set. Done. They've passed through the two-minute warning. And now it's time to go to the other side, the NFC, the other 16 teams comprising the NFL. But before we do that, take a step aside here, and you'll hear from Carvel DeWitt, the home of the Wake Up Call Sunday, and Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy that helped put me on my path to hope and can help you do the same thing with your injury. As we move on here, you'll hear from them on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora, the special, the two-minute warning, and then it's right back into it. 2 minutes on the clock for each team. Before you hear that horn, we'll be going through the NFC East all the way to the NFC South, trying to get it all in for you on what you need to know on every single NFL team before this happens.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves and how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carey and Daily Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, you can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carey and Daily Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carey and Daily Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at CareyandDailyPT.com. That's C-A-R-E-Y and D-A-L-E-Y-P-T.com.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora, the two-minute warning. We did the AFC, and now it's on to the NFC. First team that's starting off here in the NFC are the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas is currently 3-3, and the Philadelphia Eagles, the team that they're facing in their division of the NFC East, also 3-3. So Dallas is fighting for first place. Now, the Dallas Cowboys have played well. They scored 48 points against the Denver Broncos that are typically a strong defense. So the question comes up now, what could the Cowboys do wrong? They can take first place right now, Dan. It should be something that they could do. Absolutely, I agree with you. But the Dallas Cowboys, under Tony Romo, when they have the opportunity to do something that needs to be done, to do something right for themselves, to set themselves up, to do something in the present that can help them in the future, that's when they choke. That's when they struggle. That's when they have problems. And the fact that in their rushing attack, which they don't use as much as they should, they don't have DeMarco Murray, and his backup Lance Dunbar is also going to be out of the game. The leading rusher after that for the Cowboys is Tony Romo on 6 attempts for 24 yards. Behind him, Joseph Randall, then Philip Tanner and Terrence Williams. Joseph Randall I had on my fantasy league. Apparently I should go pick him up again. He's had 11 carries for 17 yards. Not doing that well, obviously. 1.5 yards a carry, but they're going to need help in their rushing attack. They're going up against Philadelphia, not the best defense, but you like to see this rushing attack do something to help out Tony Romo, who's been playing very well. Just under 1,700 yards, 14 touchdowns with 3 interceptions. The only quarterback better from touchdown to interception is Peyton Manning, which says a lot about what Tony Romo's doing. But he's been a numbers guy. He's got to get on the winning side of things. They defeated the Washington Redskins, a big victory for them. They had lost 2 back-to-back before that to San Diego and to Denver in that heartbreaking loss. Now they have Philadelphia. This is a big game. Dallas Cowboys have to win the game because you don't want these games to bite you in the butt once the season wears on. You see them on paper, they look really good. Now they got to show it on the field in games that they have to win. The next team to discuss in the NFC East are the New York Giants, a team that is 0-6 with a quarterback in Eli Manning that's thrown 15 interceptions over those six games, on pace to throw at least 32 interceptions this season. And out there on the field, you have to listen to the annoying moment of the week on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, that's also here on WakeUpCallDT.com, to get my thoughts on why Eli Manning is still starting for this team, which boggles my mind. I understand what he's done in the past, but it's the present, and your team is 0-6. I know offensive line is not extremely healthy. Defensively, they're not doing what they need to do. Hakeem Nicks, I think, is overrated. Victor Cruz is one of those guys that he signs that big contract, and you start to lock a guy like that down. Brandon Jacobs, the best player on the team so far. And how crazy is this? Brandon Jacobs comes back on the team, and he's already playing well. He's getting the job done. Two touchdowns most recently. He's leading everybody. He comes in, and within 2 weeks' time, is leading David Wilson and Darrell Scott. That says a lot about the terrible rushing attack that I knew that this Giants team had going into the season. Eli Manning right now, 9 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. They have to do something. They have to right this path. They have to get better, and they have to do it as soon as possible. And I look at the game, Minnesota playing on the road. The Giants are going to be at home. The benefit that they might have is the fact that Josh Freeman cannot, in my mind, know this team very well. Definitely not as good as Christian Ponder and Matt Castle. Christian Ponder on the bench, Matt Castle on the bench, and starting Josh Freeman, who was allegedly a head case when he was in Tampa Bay. So, really good decision there by the coaching staff. Don't really agree with what they're doing, if you can catch that sarcasm or carsasm coming through your waves right now, as I cannot speak in this moment in time. Josh Freeman might be the best thing that happens to the Giants. This is going to be, I think, a game that's going to be pretty sloppy, which Giants fans are used to at this point this season. Mentioned before and now back on my radar, the Philadelphia Eagles here in the NFC East going up against the Dallas Cowboys. This is a team that is 3-3. They have the opportunity to take first place. The benefit that they have is, like I said before, they're playing the Dallas Cowboys, and the Cowboys know they have something to lose, and they typically don't play well when they're in those types of situations. Still, this Philadelphia Eagles team, like I said before, you're not going to win with Michael Vick. It's not going to happen for you. So Nick Foles has stepped in, and I think that he's a danger to the Dallas Cowboys. Number one, the Cowboys are playing on the road. And number two, they're going up against Nick Foles. And Nick Foles is a better quarterback. I think he is the future of this team. They've defeated the New York Giants, who are a subpar team, but they did it on the road, and they went on the road in Tampa Bay and defeated another subpar team. Now you're playing a good opponent, so the Philadelphia 76ers are going to have to show what they're made of here, because they beat another subpar team in the Washington Redskins and then lost to two good teams in Denver and Kansas City, and kind of a middle-of-the-road, a little bit below-average, I would say, team in San Diego. So this is a team that definitely has to show they can get a quality win. The Cowboys would be that quality win. You got to go through a guy like LeSean McCoy, who on the ground a little bit over 5 yards a carry, 3 touchdowns, has over 600 yards on the season so far. DeSean Jackson's got to show himself. He has 5 touchdowns. He's really the guy that you have to have out there getting the job done for this team. If Nick Foles has DeSean Jackson unafraid to go after the ball, then you're going to see a team that's definitely going to compete. I think it'll be a good game because it's a longtime rivalry. I think DeSean and LeSean McCoy are playing better with Nick Foles, so I think that says something about this team as Chip Kelly tries to get above 500 with the Philadelphia Eagles by going through one of their toughest opponents of all time in the Dallas Cowboys. But in order to win, that Eagles defense has to be careful. In every single game, win or lose, they've allowed 20 or more points, and you don't want to do that with a quarterback like Tony Romo the way he's playing this season. The last team to discuss for the NFC East are the Washington Redskins. And I want to start off by taking a look at Robert Griffin III. In his completion percentage, besides raising it from 61 to 65% from week 1 to week 2, he has dropped since then from 65 to 64 to 58 to now under 50% accuracy when he was playing against the Dallas Cowboys, and the fact that he did not throw a touchdown in that game, nor did he get a touchdown on the ground, has no rushing touchdowns this season, being a dual threat, and has now thrown an interception in every single game except for one. 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Robert Griffin III, not the quarterback that you expect him to be, not the franchise guy. You have Kirk Cousins on the bench. I think he's still an option for this team. I understand that you don't want to give up on Robert Griffin III, but still, I think that they have talent in Kirk Cousins that they have to look at. I think they could use them both. I think that they could use some trickery and have Robert Griffin out there at the same time as Kirk Cousins and really shock some people. I think the Washington Redskins, being where they are and usually being bottom dwellers in the NFC East, had the opportunity now to use some trickery, use some trick plays, and go after some teams. Definitely do it against the Chicago team because you're at home, you're playing the Chicago Bears, they don't have a great offense, the defense you have to be prepared for, and when it comes to throwing picks, you look at a Chicago defense and think that Robert Griffin III is probably going to throw at least one pick against this defense, but their offense, mediocre. They just have to do enough to beat a team. And with the Denver Broncos coming up against the Washington Redskins right after this game with Chicago and having to go on the road against Denver, they have to win this game to stay in the hunt right now. They have to get it going. They've lost to the Dallas Cowboys, and they also lost to the Philadelphia Eagles, both ahead of them. So they're going to have to get a win here, and they're going to have to do it against a team like Chicago that you can't afford to lose to. Next up is the NFC West, starting with the Arizona Cardinals, who already had an opportunity to play in Week 7, losing their game to the Seattle Seahawks. It's been mentioned over and over again that Seattle's just not the same team on the road, but this is a team that I think is getting consistently better. I think it's the best defense in the entire country, and I think that they're definitely showing on offense that they could do what needs to be done with players that weren't doing well where they were. Sidney Rice in Minnesota, Marshawn Lynch in Buffalo, that weren't really getting to where they needed to be, and now I'm seeing these guys rise their level of play and do more. And I look at this team in the Arizona Cardinals that just didn't do enough. I do give credit to Carson Palmer. I think leaving Cincinnati, going to Oakland, just Oakland was not a good fit for him. In this game, 30 of 45, they only ran the ball 18 times, threw it 45 times because they really don't have a rushing attack. Rashard Mendenhall, not a guy that you really want to trust, which was shown in the fact that they ended this game, the Arizona Cardinals against the Seahawks, with 30 rushing yards while allowing 135, which says a lot about where this team is at right now in their rushing attack. They don't have Beanie Wells anymore. Beanie Wells wasn't a guy that was getting it done for them. And now you try to do something with Rashard Mendenhall, who wasn't getting it done on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I was surprised that he got a job in this league, let alone a starting job to be out there. Maybe as a third down back, but definitely not where he is right now. The Arizona Cardinals making some strides. Obviously, when you have a team that has Larry Fitzgerald, you're going to get some things done. But Larry Fitzgerald playing with an injury, only caught 2 passes, only had 17 yards. No touchdown in the game against Seattle as this Arizona team tries to find its way with a San Francisco team that is its worst enemy, but when they're good, they're pretty good, and a Seattle Seahawks team that's definitely good, and the Rams that are getting better. So Arizona's going to have to improve and do it fast, but I like that they have quarterback Carson Palmer to help them do so. Next up in the NFC West are the San Francisco 49ers, a team that has that quality win at home against Green Bay 34-28 to open the season, but then proceeded to lose to two good teams in Seattle and Indianapolis, and then defeat 3 teams that are below average. In St. Louis, that's fighting to get around average. Arizona, that's still below average. And Houston, that's definitely below average, blowing them out by 31 points, 34-3. So San Francisco, not with a lot of quality wins besides that Green Bay Packers victory, not beating the teams they really need to beat. They're on the road now against Tennessee, and this is going to be a game for them where they really have to show themselves because Jake Locker's coming back. 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. You have to show what you're made of here. San Fran, 6th best in the country as far as yards allowed per game through the air, with 206 that they allow. So a lot to be said about this, and I find it very interesting, just quickly bringing up Houston. They only allow 131 passing yards a game, yet they look terrible when they're going up against the pass. But back to the San Francisco 49ers, they have to show who they are, who they're really going to be moving forward, because you're going up against a guy who's grabbed 4 picks in Werner. So Colin Kaepernick's going to have to be careful. And you got to run the ball against this Tennessee team, who's not that great against the run. You have Frank Gore, utilize him. And Kendall Hunter as well. Both have 3 touchdowns on the season. Utilize what they can do. And really, this is a game where San Francisco has to blow Tennessee out. They have to differentiate themselves. They can't lose this game, and they can't make it a 14-13 game. If San Francisco is that team that's going to vie for a championship, try and get back to the Super Bowl and get to the playoffs, they have to prove that they're better than a team like Tennessee, and they have to do it handily. So this is going to be a big game for them to really show themselves and what they're made of. They have the talent on the paper, but now they have to show it more than they have recently. The Seattle Seahawks now on the clock in the 2-minute warning. The team that I said going last season made the statement that, quite frankly, they potentially had the best pass defense in the country. Now I believe they have the best defense in general in the country when it comes to the Seattle Seahawks, a team that just knows what they're doing. They know how to win. I give them a lot of credit for what they're working to do. I think Russell Wilson is getting better. The team's already played, mentioned it before. They won the game on the road. It's the belief that the Seattle Seahawks are not the same team on the road that they are at home. They go to Arizona, they score 34 points and win that game, and just really show the fact that they can go out on the road and get victories, because they haven't shown that before. They defeated Carolina 12-7, which is really not a good win against the Carolina Panthers. Then you go on the road at Houston, you have to win in overtime against a team that's really not that good. And Indianapolis, they lose that game 34-28. So the Seahawks really have to show that they can win on the road. But obviously, when you have a record of 6-1 through 7 weeks, you're saying, well, you know, hopefully we're going to be home for most of the playoffs here. But still, at some point, you're going to have to play on the road. If you make it to the Super Bowl, you're going to be on the road. So the Seattle Seahawks have to show improvement in their ability to play on the road, and they'll have an opportunity coming up to do that against the St. Louis Rams, which will be on Monday Night Football. That's a game that they'll be on the road doing, and a divisional game that they have to win. Can't afford to lose those type of games. I just really like everything this team is doing, from Chancellor to Sherman, all the way down the secondary. There's just positives everywhere in the secondary. Marshawn Lynch has gotten better. Like I said, Russell Wilson's getting better. Sidney Rice and Jermaine Kearse, that you don't expect a lot out of, or at least I didn't going into the season, especially Kearse, for the people that even knew who he was going out there, that he's been playing well, getting targeted and doing well with that, and Sidney Rice as well. The Seattle Seahawks team is just, they're just good. Here we are in the NFC North on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora. The 2-minute warning with the Chicago Bears first on the clock with 2 minutes here. Chicago Bears, I said it a little bit earlier, I believe that this team does enough just to win. I will give credit, though, to Jay Cutler, who currently has 12 touchdowns to 6 interceptions, and to Brandon Marshall, who has 5 touchdowns right now. And Alshon Jeffrey, who's really doing a good job as well, only a few yards behind Brandon Marshall, really being a target this season unlike any other. He has a couple touchdowns. And Martellus Bennett, a tight end that used to play for the Dallas Cowboys as well as the New York Giants, with 3 touchdowns right now. So I give this team credit that there is a little bit more offense, which Mark Trestman's new coach coming from the CFL, Montreal Alouettes, with a friend of mine, S.J. Green, that played receiver for them, and knowing that, just figuring that from Lovie Smith to Mark Trestman, there's going to be a little bit more offense, and I'm definitely seeing that right now. I'd like to see a little bit more from Matt Forte as far as what he could do. Michael Bush has done nothing, used to be the next back in line, but Jay Cutler and Alshon Jeffrey have rushed for more yards than Michael Bush, who's 4th right now for the Chicago Bears. As far as what they've been able to do defensively, you look at the games they defeated Cincinnati, which is a pretty good middle-of-the-road team. Minnesota, who I think is subpar right now, they only defeated them by 1, allowed 30 points there. Allowed the Pittsburgh Steelers 23 points despite the victory. Lost, allowing the Detroit Lions 40 points, and allowed New Orleans 26 points, and then defeated the Giants but allowed 21 in that game. So I think the Chicago defense definitely isn't what it used to be. So where the offense has risen a little bit, I think the defense has fallen a little bit. The good news for Chicago is they're going up against the Washington Redskins, a game where I believe, just like with the Giants, but you got to fight a little bit more than they did against the Giants, but that they don't have to go full steam just enough to get a victory, which has been helping out the Bears. Continuing in the NFC North, it's now time to take a look at the Detroit Lions in their own two-minute warning here. The Detroit Lions, just a different team without Calvin Johnson. How about this? In every single game that Calvin Johnson's played in this season, five out of the six games that the Lions have had, they've scored at least 20 points. Without him, they scored nine. And in the games that Calvin Johnson's played him, the team is 4-1. Without Calvin Johnson, they're 0-1. So it says a lot about what Calvin Johnson means to this team, how important Megatron is to Matt Stafford. What I would like to see outside of the abilities of Calvin Johnson is Reggie Bush stepping up here and doing a little bit more, as well as Joakim Bell. Joakim Bell has three touchdowns, but not really good on his average. Then you look at a guy like Reggie Bush, who's better on his average yards per carry, but has only gotten into the end zone once. So this team has to do a little bit more on offense. Defensively, it's just not there. Defense against the pass and against the run, just not looking good, which is not good for them going up against Andy Dalton, AJ Green, and Giovanni Bernard this week for week 7. The Cincinnati team definitely has to get better on defense, and Dominican Sue has to stop getting himself fined and start making good decisions on the defensive side right now. This team definitely has to step up, and they have to do more. It's not an acceptable defense when you're trying to get out there and vie to win games. DeAndre Levy leads the team with 4 interceptions. That is a high note for the team. Glover Quinn and Lewis Delmas also have multiple interceptions on the season. Chris Houston and Steven Tulock each have an interception as well to lead to 10 interceptions for this team. So don't let it fool you. Even though they're not great against the pass when it comes to yardage, they are able to get the ball turned over, which is what Matt Stafford needs, who's a pretty good quarterback with a very good wide receiver and Calvin Johnson. As this team moves forward, more from the running game, more from the defense, if they want to stay on the winning side of things. But they have Calvin back, which is big. Next up in the NFC North are the Green Bay Packers, who have the bad news of not having Randall Cobb, one of their starting wide receivers, for the rest of the season after being injured against the Baltimore Ravens. James Jones coming out of that game injured as well. He's questionable to be out there. And you look at this Cleveland Browns team, I had mentioned three different DBs on their team have an interception this season. The Cleveland Browns are playing better, and this Green Bay Packers team struggled to score, only had 19 points against Baltimore. So now I look at the game between Cleveland and the Green Bay Packers and say to Green Bay, your rushing attack really isn't there. James Starks isn't going to be out there playing for you. Eddie Lacy doesn't do enough for you in the rushing attack. You have Jordy Nelson, but Randall Cobb's out for the season. James Jones, if he plays, isn't going to be at full strength. And James Starks is involved in that unit in getting you yards receiving as well. So all of these weapons now dwindle down a little bit. Touchdowns, interceptions, Aaron Rodgers 10-4. He's going to be there for you. He's going to try and work to get the job done. But at the same time, he has less weapons now, which is really going to affect this Green Bay Packers team that has to get better. They're 3-2 right now. They're not leading the race in the NFC North and not looking like the best team right now in the NFC North so far, with the games that they've won, defeating Washington, which is a subpar team, Detroit, which is kind of back and forth, a little bit above average, I would say, but they did get that win against Baltimore. They lost to Cincinnati, and they lost to San Francisco. San Francisco a little bit above average, Cincinnati right at average. And now you look at a Cleveland Browns team that's fighting to be above average right now, is not a bad Browns team. Like I said, quite frankly, could end up being the best one since the Browns return in 1999. The Green Bay Packers, Jordy Nelson, good for fantasy owners, but besides that, not a ton to say about a team that has injuries to their linebacker core, including their best linebacker in Clay Matthews. Injuries affecting this team on offense and defense, which I think will create a different type of Packers team, at least for now. Lastly, in the NFC North are the Minnesota Vikings, a team that I don't agree with what they're doing, with the option that they have taken to start Josh Freeman at their quarterback after having now Christian Ponder went out with an injury, but he's probable to go from here and Matt Cassel, who's played. And, yeah, Matt Cassel makes mistakes. But to go with Josh Freeman, of those three options, a guy who has the least amount of time with your team that you're going to send out there. And, you know, like I said, this could be a practice game because they are playing the New York Giants. But you're never completely, I mean, in the Giants, you're never completely out of anything because there is always a possibility that you could come back. The Giants, it's possible they could win 10 games, be 10-6. Not probable, but it's possible. The Minnesota Vikings, 1-4, still an opportunity. Adrian Peterson, you definitely have that on the ground, but I would look to say that Josh Freeman's going to have to trust more in Adrian Peterson and let him run the ball and get more comfortable, and hopefully he can get back into his form after having the tragic news of the passing away of his son. And obviously prayers and love go to him and all of his loved ones and to everyone involved, and that the person that did this will never do this again, never hurt anybody again, and that his son is safe and sound in heaven, always connected to Adrian and his mother and the rest of his loved ones. Definitely getting back to football, Adrian Peterson has to be the guy. Josh Freeman, to me, it's a bad decision. I think this is a guy, he has the least amount of time to really get to know your receivers and be okay with them. The receivers that he did know, he wasn't doing well with in Tampa Bay. Now you're asking him to play with strangers, and that he's going to play better than Christian Ponder or Matt Cassel right now, which I don't think is going to happen. But like I said, they're playing the New York Giants, so the best benefit to Minnesota Vikings fans is that even if Josh Freeman makes a ton of mistakes, Eli Manning is probably going to make more. For the final division to be talked about here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, the two-minute warning, we start off with the Atlanta Falcons of the NFC South, a team that I had stated before, with Roddy White and Julio Jones, yes, you want to have them out there. Fantasy football-wise, you want them out there. I selfishly wanted Julio Jones fantasy football, but what trumps my fantasy football is reality. The fact that this guy could be injured, and he's a real person, and he's going to have to deal with that injury. And then thinking about the Atlanta Falcons, even before my own fantasy football team, to think about, listen, you have Roddy White, you have Julio Jones, you have talent, but if you're playing two guys that are constantly questionable on your injury report, guess what? You're playing these guys, you're putting them at questionable, which to me is mediocre, 50-50, and you're putting them out on the field. And when you play an injured guy over and over again, don't be surprised if you lose them for the season. Now Roddy White is out. He's not going to be playing in the game that's happening in Week 7 against Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the Atlanta Falcons. And Julio Jones most likely is out for the entire season. You already don't have running back Steven Jackson. And so now you go with Matt Ryan, who's really going to have to go after tight end Tony Gonzalez, because there's not a lot that you could say here. Jason Snelling coming off a concussion, he's probable to play in the game, but it's still a concussion, and you never know. It affects everybody differently what that concussion is going to entail as far as the play of Jason Snelling. So I look at the rest of the receiving core. You have Harry Douglas, and you have Jacquizz Rodgers, and these two guys, Jacquizz does not have a touchdown. Harry Douglas has yet to score a touchdown as well, and that, you know, obviously is the fact that they're not targeted as much as Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez, and Julio Jones when Matt Ryan's out there in the end zone going after it. But at the same time, now these guys have to step up, and they have to do more, and the defense has to do more, because Atlanta didn't look as good as Atlanta should when they had all their players healthy. Now they don't have the guys because they went with something that I thought was down the road going to happen that they shouldn't do, and now they have to find a way to win without the best talent that they have. The next team you and I need to discuss in the NFC South are the Carolina Panthers, a team that, when you look at their statistics and you look at what they've been able to do in games, plays that they made, players that they have, you would think that they're better than they are right now. But currently at 2-3, you lose against Seattle. They did hold Seattle to 12 points because the defense in the top 10 against the pass and in the top 10 against the run. Against the run, they allow not only less than 100 yards per game, they allow less than 90 yards per game. So you see that low score with Seattle, still lose that game, though. They lose by a point to Buffalo and a heartbreaker there at Buffalo. They defeat the New York Giants 38-0, which is really no win you can hang your hat on. They lose to Arizona, only score 6 points there. And you defeat Minnesota, that's a little bit below average right now. winning by 35 points. Now you're playing St. Louis, who's another team that's below average, trying to get to average. So the Carolina Panthers, when you play these games, you have to show separation. You're better against the pass. You're better against the run than I think people expect. I like their linebacker, Luke Kuechly. I like what he's been doing. He leads the team with 45 tackles right now. He has 2 interceptions on the season. Then Mike Mitchell has 3 interceptions. And I just have to mention this guy's name, Captain Munnerlyn. I just love it. I love that his first name is Captain. So if you have him on your team and he's doing well, you could say you got a little captain in you. I like it. It works for me. But back to the Carolina Panthers and what they've been doing, I just don't see enough from them right now. I know Cam Newton is a guy that could be a fantasy football point machine. I know that D'Angelo Williams, there's always high expectations, but I don't think they're as high now because of the fact that he hasn't gotten the job done over so many years. He still doesn't have a touchdown this season. So I definitely think that the offense needs to do a lot more and the team needs to play collectively better through all 3 phases of the game. But the defense is definitely something that's looking good right now for Carolina. The New Orleans Saints are up next. And what can you say about a team that just really knows how to get it done year in, year out? We talk about the fact Carolina needs to do more on offense. Well, the New Orleans Saints, they just do what they do, and they do it with Drew Brees, a decision that I thought might bite San Diego in the butt when they chose Phillip Rivers over Drew Brees, and it ended up doing that. Phillip Rivers does not have a Super Bowl. Drew Brees does. Drew Brees has a bunch of records, and Drew Brees figures out ways to get it done. Just under 2,000 yards so far for this season, and 14 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. And he's getting help from his rushing attack. This is something I really didn't expect to be there for him. But Pierre Thomas, I give him credit. Only 3 yards a carry, but he has those runs that are really meaningful in games for the team. Darren Sproles just playing very well. Sproles has just under 4 yards a carry, but receiving, he's the 2nd leading receiver on the team behind tight end Jimmy Graham. So what does that tell you about this team? A tight end and a running back better than any other receiver on the team. 6 touchdowns for Jimmy Graham. Darren Sproles has 1 touchdown, over 360 yards receiving, catching 32 balls already. Then you have Marquise Colston. Behind that, Kenny Stills has caught a touchdown as well. Pierre Thomas has caught 2. Benjamin Watson has 1. Robert Meacham has 1. Spreading it all throughout, Drew Brees just really helping out the team by doing what he does, and that's spread the ball around. I give him a lot of credit for the hard work that he has, and I give credit to the New Orleans Saints defense that is doing a little bit more this season. I said they were going to win a Super Bowl. They had their best chance of winning a Super Bowl when that defense played better than just that mediocre that they had. They had to be a little bit better than average. And now I'm seeing the defense come out, have not allowed anyone to score 20 points except for their loss against New England, that heartbreaker at the end of the game that happened most recently. Everybody else they've held under 20, which has been their MO, and they need to continue to do that if they want to continue to win. Lastly here for the NFC and for Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora's 2-minute warning, the final team before the final buzzer are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the here and now, just a confusing team. I don't think that Greg Schiano is your leader. I think that's their first problem. And it's a shame for the players because that's who you have. You're not a recruit in high school trying to figure out where you want to go, and you could decide what fits best for you. The team picks you. The team drafts you. They make that decision. So if you're playing for Greg Schiano right now, I wouldn't want to. I honestly would not want to play for this guy. I don't think he respects the game. I don't think he really respects people when it comes to going, just some of the decisions that he makes. And now you got to go forward with Mike Glennon, and it's going to be a learning curve. It's a rebuilding season. 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions for Mike Glennon. He's only played in a couple games. I want to see more from Doug Martin in the rushing attack. And obviously this is affected by the pass, just like the pass is affected by the run. Not a lot of teams can overcome this. Not a lot of players can overcome this. Doug Martin is going to need to overcome this if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers want to see some victories. 3.5 yards a carry, only one touchdown on the season. Nobody else has scored a touchdown rushing for the team, so he doesn't even have help there. And then you look at Vincent Jackson and what Vincent Jackson's been able to do receiving-wise. He has a couple touchdowns. Mike Williams has been injured. He has a couple touchdowns. Then Kevin Ogletree has one. Nobody else. So the offense is just really dismal, kind of dark, just not there. When you picture being out in the desert and there's that tumbleweed, that's how I see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the field right now. It's just not there for them. They have to get better. They have to do more. They've yet to win a game. They've lost to New York, who's a little bit of, I would say that they're about an average team right now. New Orleans, New England above average. Arizona trying to be average. Philadelphia trying to be average as well. So pretty good opponents that they're losing to. But again, they're losing to them, and they are last in the league when it comes to the pass. They need to get better. Even though it's a rebuilding year, you still have to fight to win. And that is the final out of all 32 teams, 2 minutes on each. Who would have thought you could get through the NFL that fast? Wake up call with Dan Tortora, the two-minute warning, an hour of your time, and you have what you need to know from every single team, from your favorite team to the teams in your division to the teams that are your adversaries, to your rivals, to the teams that you really haven't watched or paid that much attention to, that now you know a little bit more about, I hope. I truly hope that this show has helped to make some more sense for things for you, maybe look at a different side of things, back up an opinion that you have, and learn a little bit more. That's what this is for. Wake up call with Dan Tortora, the two-minute warning. Thank you so much for listening in. I cannot thank you enough for being a part of this, and I also have to thank Carvel DeWitt on 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York, the only place to go when you need ice cream, when it comes to that treat that you want to have, whether it's mixing in your childhood favorite M&Ms into vanilla soft serve, or it's getting a caramel sundae topped with cookie dough pieces and having chocolate or vanilla soft serve right under that in the wake-up call Sunday, or if you're just a fan of having one of those simple hot fudge sundaes that you've gotten for years, whatever it may be, or if you're my dad and you like a banana shake, Carvel DeWitt is the place to go when it comes to your ice cream needs. Think about it. Whenever you've needed a tissue, you'll ask for a Kleenex. When you need something to put on a cut, you ask for a Band-Aid. Those brands have become household names, just like Carvel DeWitt, the longest standing Carvel franchise in the entire nation. 60 plus years of service to the Central New York community, and anyone coming in to visit, Carvel ice cream at Carvel DeWitt is unlike any other, led by the staff of Jay Cartini, the owner, and everyone that he has working there with him, that greets you when you come through the door and helps you to find what you need, be it a flying saucer or one of those sundaes that we spoke about, or of course the Carvel ice cream cake. When it comes to getting an ice cream cake, there literally is not another place to go. There's not. And I'm not reading this off a sheet of paper. I'm telling you, when my grandfather had a birthday, we had a Carvel ice cream cake. My grandmother, who's 96 years old, every single year on December 15th, her birthday, right before Christmas, in the coldness of Central New York, what does she ask for? A Carvel ice cream cake. Because the weather doesn't matter. That same great taste never goes away, and that leads throughout the years. From my grandfather to my grandmother to my parents to my birthdays, Carvel has been a part of my life because we made it a part of our lives. Because we know that when you want to have something that you could trust when it comes to someone's birthday, anniversary, wedding, special event, you go to Carvel because you know that they're going to take care of you. There's certain places where you think maybe they will, maybe they won't. But when it comes to Carvel, you have that belief because of what they've done, because of how long, 60-plus years in Central New York, you have that belief in them that they will do things right, and they have. And that's why I'm proud to have the Wake Up Call Sunday only available at Carvel DeWitt on 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York, in that development right across from Tops, where you can get chocolate or vanilla soft serve or a twist if you're feeling like you need both. And I do that sometimes as well. Topped off with cookie dough pieces, caramel swirl, whipped cream and a cherry. And for those of you that are looking at your calories and saying, you know what, Dan, I love that Carvel flavor, but I wish I could have less that I have to worry about per calorie. I wish when I go in there, I wouldn't have to think I have to run an extra mile. Well, Carvel has gone the extra mile for you and provided you with Carvel Light with less calories per ounce so that you can go out there and get that Carvel treat that you want, your favorite as a kid or your favorite right now, whatever it may be, or if you're a first-timer to pick your favorite. Carvel Light allows you an opportunity to not have to worry about your calories when you're going out there and getting something special with your family. So I thank Carvel for that, for reaching out with Carvel Light and the Wake Up Call Sunday. Make sure you reach out by going to them any day of the week, Monday through Sunday, open until 9 p.m. Get out to Carvel DeWitt on 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York. Let them know that I sent you, and enjoy yourself, folks. It's something that stays with your family. If you're willing to go out and try Carvel, I find it very hard to believe that you won't step back in that door very soon. We have since I was a child, and I thank Jay Cartini for keeping things going and keeping Carvel strong in Central New York. Get out there, 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York, right at the end of Erie Boulevard. I also want to thank FanHands.com, your number one fan accessory. When it comes to being a sports fan, you know that. When you define a sports fan, we're all different. We like different teams, different ages, different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different knowledge on the sports that we're watching. But what constitutes a sports fan? The majority of us realize that when you're a sports fan, a lot of us look into the fact of if you're a true fan, you show up to the games, you cheer on your team. That's what you do. And if you can't show up to the game, you're still cheering them on. But the one thing that we can all put together, no matter what language we speak, where we came from, what our background is, what nationality, what sex we are, when it comes to being a sports fan, we all understand that a way of showing our team that we appreciate what they're doing is by clapping. It's by simply putting your hands together and letting them know, we're here for you, good, bad, or indifferent. No matter what's going on in the game, we got you. Know that we're here. We are the person that's here. In a basketball game, we're your sixth man. In a football game, we're your 12th man. In tennis, it doesn't matter the sport, from soccer to lacrosse, basketball, football, volleyball, and every sport around the country and the world. When you cheer on your team, you want to be loud. You want to let them know that no matter what's going on, you are right there supporting them all the way. And why not do that with Fan Hands, an inexpensive way to enhance your clap? It doesn't matter what language you speak. We all speak the same language when we clap our hands together. And Fan Hands, located on fanhands.com, is your easiest way to increase your clap, increase the sound, increase how much louder you can be at a game to cheer on the team that you know, cheer on the team that you love. FanHands.com with 11 different colors to find your favorite team. Purchase your pair of Fan Hands. They cost $9.99, folks. Inexpensive accessory to take to the game that you don't have to worry about, like the foam finger, or think about because of what Miley Cyrus did, but we'll leave that alone. Or have to deal with the fact of where do you put the clapper when you have the clapper? If you have a megaphone, where do you set that? Fan Hands are easy. You want to eat something? Take them off your hands, slip them in your pocket. You're done with your nachos, pop them back on, and start clapping again. You have a drink in your hand? You don't have to put your Fan Hands down. That's the beauty of it. It's the number one fan accessory because it allows you to be a true fan. And it also allows you to enjoy the game without having to worry about what you're going to do with this accessory that you brought. It truly is the best friend of the number one sports fan. FanHands.com. Get there now and get clapping. I also want to thank Drysig Apparel, who has provided me with all of the Wake Up Call with Dan Totora merchandise that we give out at all the live events that I've had at Carvel DeWitt, Toby Keith's in Syracuse, and other places. I thank Drysig Apparel for all that they do. DrysigAthletic.com can help you out. It's not just for the business owner like myself. It's for anyone. you have a team that you want to support here, if you're a coach for a YMCA travel league, or you have a high school team that's getting out there and you want them to look good for sectionals, whatever it may be, when it comes to your sports team, head to DreisigAthletic.com. That's DreisigAthletic.com. Athletic.com. DreisigAthletic.com athletic.com has phenomenal wear for any sports team. Wherever you are, whatever you need, when it comes to truly looking good, feeling good, and having durable clothing that you know is going to come from a company that cares, trust DreisigAthletic.com. And for the lady out there, Dreisig Lady takes care of a woman, whatever she's doing, be it jogging in the morning, going to the gym, driving around in the car, relaxing at home, taking care of the kids. If you're a businesswoman to the stay-at-home mom, when it comes to feeling good in the clothes that you're wearing and having clothes that are going to move with you as you move throughout your day, DreisigLady.com will give you what you need and cover you the right way. DreisigLady.com. That's DreisigLady.com. Lady.com. And also coming up, I am proud to announce right here on Wake Up Call with Dan Totora on WakeUpCallDT.com, the only place that you'll find the exclusive that you just listened to, would like to announce the fact that Salt City Billiards in Mattydale, New York, and Pole Position Raceway in Destiny, USA in Syracuse, New York, will both be joining Dan Totora Broadcast Media in the near future. Salt City Billiards, the place that you need to go to. When it comes to playing a game of pool, you want to be able to relax, hang out with your friends in the community, and feel like you're in a place that understands that no matter what type of pool player you are, from beginner to the extreme pool player, the one that's the shark that kind of sits in the background and makes you think that they don't know what they're doing, then they bust out their own cue and start playing. You remember that Family Matters episode. Salt City Billiards is the place to go when you want to go and enjoy the pool when it's cold outside. Think about it that way, folks. In the summer, you're jumping in the pool. When the winter months come around and these fall months are cold as well, you can enjoy the pool still at Salt City Billiards, playing pool throughout the night and enjoying their food that they provide for you on location right there, made there, from the team at Salt City Billiards. Make sure that you check them out in Mattydale. Keeping with sports, for those of you that enjoy watching car movies or you enjoy watching NASCAR, whatever it may be, you know it. You get that need for speed. You want to get out there and you want to enjoy jumping into a car and experiencing what it's like to race yourself. And now you have the opportunity to do so in a place that I never thought I would say it would be possible. Inside the mall that I grew up with down the street, Carousel Mall, becoming Destiny USA, and adding within it on the third floor, Pole Position Raceway, an indoor electric kart experience for a quarter mile track that allows you the opportunity to finally be the driver, and not just the driver when you're at a video arcade and you're sitting down in the seat and you're just turning the wheel and stepping on the pedal. This is you. You're in the electric cart. You're going around this track. You have to make the decisions. You have to know what you're doing, when you're doing it. You need to have a plan. And I love the fact that at Pole Position Raceway, when I've sat in that cart myself, I was able to have my own plan, to make my decisions, to get out on a track and say, I'm not just watching a video game. I'm not just sitting here watching television. I'm the guy. I'm the driver. I'm behind my car right now trying to get myself where I want to be, and that's across that finish line. Pole Position Raceway, allowing anyone from children all the way through to the business owner when it comes to kids' parties and corporate events. When you want to get out there and do something truly exhilarating, different, exciting, so many different emotions did I feel sitting in that cart, driving around that track. What a unique experience. something that you cannot afford to not go out and do. PolePositionRaceway.com. You can get more information there. And, of course, go out and see the track and get yourself in one of their electric carts immediately at Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York. And make sure if your kid's birthday party's coming up, or if you're the new general manager of a company and you want to get some team building going on and learn about the personalities of the people that are now working for you, and let them know a little bit about who you are, more than just talking around a conference room table. A great place to do that is at Pole Position Raceway, once again at Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York, on the third floor. Get more information on PolePositionRaceway.com. This is Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora, featuring exclusive information that you can only find through Dan Tatora Broadcast Media. When you're a sports fan that wants to hear originality, comedy, and have someone who has integrity, morals, values, faith, this is your place to go when it comes to the information that you yearn for, even if you don't know it yet. And at the same time, to have those stories told that are truly special makes people individuals and not just players. Makes them humans and not just numbers, not just a stat line. Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora and Dan Tatora Broadcast Media is your place to find the stories that touch the heart as well as touching the sports fan's mind, right here on WakeUpCallDT.com and also on the Google Play Store app SportsDT, that's SportsDT, and on your iPad, iPhone, and iPod by going to WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile, MOBILE, and getting the app there. And you could also go to the Apple Store and search Sports DT. That's SportsDT. Once again, so many ways to get involved with the company that allows you to listen from your computer, tablet, iPad, iPod, smartphone, iPad, whatever it may be. When it comes to electronics, whether you have your tablet with you, your iPad, your iPhone, your Android, or you're sitting in front of your desktop, where else can you listen to a show at any time on any device that allows you to get access to the internet? Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora and Dan Tatora Broadcast Media, proud to provide the sports fan what you need on your schedule. I'll talk to you very soon. This is Dan Tatora for Dan Tatora Broadcast Media. God bless.